Today is day 4 of our retreat, 26 August 2024, Monday. Okay, we're supposed to do morning chanting, which we have done, and now we'll do some reflection. There is this book at the back there, brown color. This is a very good book. The Essence or the Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. This book comes about based on a direct transcript from the talk, the Dhamma talk I delivered at Sister Nancy's house. Nancy is with us today. Now let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That time, Brother Sia, Nancy's husband, and Nancy and family, they hold a house dana for me and invited me and all Kayamitas to be there. This was in the year 2015, June 20th. So almost 9 years ago. And it's a very good book. So I'll read to you the introduction part. Just relax yourself. Get yourself seated and maintain some form of sadha, virya, and attentiveness. So, attentiveness is silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati or mindfulness. When you pay attention without thought, that attention itself is awareness, sati. So remember that. Then the moment you are attentive without thought, means no thought, no movement up there, the sankhara, you are already in sati. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is true listening. This is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your knowledge or memory that is in the brain, that is the silent mind listening, means you are really paying attention. You just listen with an open mind. Then whatever you can understand or absorb, they will become very clear. Then if it's something not in accordance, you will also understand, but you will not prejudge. So Dhamma is about learning how to develop this art of listening, how to listen with the silent mind, or how to silence your mind more and more so that you can be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, without thought, you are already aware. So this one is very important. Then I continue. I say, so today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, Brother Sia and Sister Nancy and family, for hosting this wonderful house dana, for us to have the condition to come and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together, we can also have this rather meaningful gathering of Kayamita. Come fellowship, shall we rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. At that time, they also rejoice. Like Sui say, rejoicing, open up your heart. And sadhu, instead of becoming moody and sad. Now I like the new way the handphone show the emoji, is it emoji? They put the emoji, sometimes they send to you, you laugh. But sometimes, like Sui say, got certain emoji, make monkey face. So don't use that one. If you are a Dhamma practitioner, don't use that one. Okay. Now you listen. This part is very good. I'd like to thank all Kayamita who have made it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can listen to develop more of this good mind state, which is very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtues are your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your pleasant character, your whatever good mind states. They constitute wholesome mind, wholesomeness. A person who can keep his precept, his or her precept, has virtue. He or she has no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no negative thought. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot harm, you cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants. Which will make your consciousness very low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precepts or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness of mind. Normally, the monk will chant this in Pali to you, for you to understand after having administered the 5 precepts or 8 precepts to you. So if it's 5 precepts, they will chant. Silena sugantin yanti, silena boga sampada, silena nibunting yanti, tasma silang visode. So the English translation is, sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual true spiritual happiness. Sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. Sila or virtue is the source of true spiritual peacefulness. Therefore, let this sila or virtue be kept and purified. So this one is a reason why the Buddha administered the precept and advice cultivator and devotees and monks to keep their precepts. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness and a lot of joy to us. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Then sadhu is rejoicing, like what Sui explained. You rejoice in the wholesomeness of others, whatever goodness that people do. When you are able to witness them doing all this wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying, sadhu. We can rejoice in other people's generosity, sincerity, and faith, seeing how they help prepare the offerings, the dana offerings, and all the various flowers, fruits, clear water, incense, etc. All this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness. There is a lot of synergy too, because for cultivators who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish, and in return, all those who have partaken in this dana offering will also receive all these merits. So regarding this, I would like to take this opportunity on behalf of Yuan Chan to thank Sister Alicia and the driver, Brother Wong, of the temple, because they took Yuan Chan yesterday out to have the doctor to check her and jab her with the tetanus jab. And she has recovered, now almost back to normal. Yeah? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why when you have this sincerity, wholesomeness, goodness, you will do a lot of good things. Your mind state are beautiful. Then afterwards, I was told by Brother Song, 9:30, he's taking Sister Polian via her leg. I think before she come to a retreat, she went for an operation, and quite a bad operation, because quite a major operation. Ah, minor, not major. Oh, he came and tell me, but I think I cannot come already. We all need dressing and all those things. So I said, never mind. Then Alicia again gave her a good hint and help her. Hey, you contact Dr. J lah. Dr. Janta is joining us. He can do the dressing for you. So he contacted Janta, agree. That's why she came. So we really rejoice for her, but then karmic have to pay. So the dressing is not really healing. So 9:30, Brother Song, together with her. I think, I don't know who is the driver. Is it again Mr. Wong? Oh, Song driver. No, I'm asking about the driver. Oh, 你驾车来啊? Oh, 这师父驾车, oh, okay. So Song drive, but somebody lend the car. So we should also thank the person who lent the car, Sifu. So we all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. So all these are the wholesomeness that people do. And if we come to know about it, we should rejoice. Understand? Then your heart like become different. Instead of be moody, unhappy. So when I say, if you are not happy, not peaceful, moody, means what? The evils are there. But if you rejoice, you're happy. Although not for yourself, happy for others. Because they know how to perform wholesomeness, develop merits. So this is one aspect of Dhamma that can help you turn around from being a moody or sad person into a bubbly, happy, and like active person. Then to choose between the two is very simple. Which one you choose? Choose to be moody? Definitely not. So choose to be what? Happy, peaceful, have joy. Then when you rejoice, you're not only happy, you receive merits. Understand? That's why you listen to good Dhamma, you rejoice. You listen to good sharing, you rejoice. Like, was it yesterday? The sharing by Cindy and our Joey was so good. Then the PG is already out already. This morning we try to get you. I know, you are all covered. But after that, when the thing finished, I saw you bow again. Oh, your bowing was very mindful, very good. And this is what you told me last night. You want to share? Yeah, pass the mic to PG.
Good morning, Brother Teo. Yeah. This is Teo in all connectedness. I go back a little bit to last year.
Yeah.
The first day I arrived, getting down the bus, I tripped and fall.
Yeah, fell. That's why the karmic was.
Yes, the karmic is such.
Yeah.
At the entrance. Okay.
Yeah.
And I twisted my foot, and that's it for the whole retreat. I couldn't walk properly. And subsequently, also it was very cold. It was raining every day, and I couldn't go out. And because of also the vegetarian food, I was so cold. And when I went back, I had COVID. But I recovered quite fast. But subsequently, I developed a cough that I had until almost today. So I bring forward to these few months. Even before when they announced the retreat, I dare not put my name in until almost the last
last moment.
two weeks, because my cough was so persistent. Despite all the TCM, whatever, the amount of ginger I take, everything, but I still feel very cold. So When I came this time, I told myself that I have to aspire to do better. So on the second day, I went down the shrine during the morning when you're having a meditation. I think I went down to pay my respects. And so I did all my rounds. And when I pay my respects to Manjushri, I can feel the affinity with Manjushri. I cried, I put it
yeah,
this way.
Yeah. But that cry is with joy, understand?
Yeah.
Well, before this, I organized the Wu Tai San trip. There is a way place for Manjushri Bodhisattva, Wen Su Pusa. And she followed us, and she was very happy at that trip. A lot of joy, then receive a lot of what they call good energy and vibration. That's why this annual retreat came. Suddenly, the affinity and the connection manifest. That's why you go and pay respect in front of Manjushri, or what we call Wen Su Bodhisattva. He just burst into tears. Then a lot of things happened. You let her describe her.
And when I cried, there was one thing that struck me, Bertil. Somebody said, not enough suffering.
That message is very powerful. Until now, you haven't wake up. Still not enough. You want to suffer some more. Not enough suffering. So because of that, I think she suddenly like wake up. Then become very serious. Then the rest is history. Good thing all follow after that. Okay, you continue.
My aspiration for this retreat was to develop sati. And that's what I request all the great Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, for your blessings, guidance and protection. And also to help in my cultivation, especially to develop sati. So during the afternoon, when I was, actually when I came up, I already feel very different, Bratio. And when I did my meditation, lying down meditation, and as usual, our friend, the fly, was like everywhere.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it like what Zoe did.
Yeah.
She could tolerate the flies. I could not.
She got this phobia for fly.
I had a very great aversion. So
aversion and phobia. Yeah.
So I even hide myself under the table, but the fly is still very persistent. So I gave up. I said, Namala, go and do something else. So I say, okay, do the bowing. And I was very mindful. As I bow down, I knew that something has come over me.
Yeah.
And subsequently, when I do the bowing, it's like everything was so smooth and so, I don't know how to say it. It's
like the body and mind move together without thought. Very, very graceful.
And the body,
like everything is in harmony, in synchrony. That's why he said he knew like not her, somebody doing it. Very strange. Okay, you continue. You describe.
Yeah, like the body is like so soft.
Yeah.
And that's not me because my body is very hard. The bones are all very hard. And even the way I my hand gesture.
Yeah.
And the way the bowing was done. Is,
yeah.
It's like it's not me lah.
Yeah.
I know that.
It's like
different.
Very soft and all continuous. Continuous. Like I use the word to describe ta 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 ta, like the connecting movement, but no sound. The whole body and mind as one, and very graceful. This morning also, as we walk out, I saw very graceful. She was doing the bowing. So the moment they have sati, when they do, they walk or they do the action, you will know. And that person, herself or himself, will also know. That's why I say you do until sati come, you will know. No need to ask people. Because the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise Ishvara. You only need sincerity, faith, and perseverance. Just do. You will come. Then her case also turned around from a situation of karmic obstruction and problem, the previous retreat. Then this retreat, he make the affirmation, the intent. So Aditan for blessing, protection, and guidance from all the great beings. Then after Wu Tai San trip, it's like meant to be. He realized he got affinity with Ren Su Pusa. Then after that came up, everything just happened. You think the fly one was something bad? No, blessing in disguise. If the fly don't disturb her, she won't go and bow. If she won't go and bow, this thing cannot happen. But her condition and state is, that bowing work very fast for her. Like he said, the body very stiff. Lie down also cannot relax. But I saw this retreat, I already told her on the first or second day. I said, Sadhu, you look good. A lot more healthy. Not like last time. Last time, scared of cold, a lot of karmic obstruction. In our dialect, we say what? Like, kua pei xian. So something like that. Then I say, good, sadhu. Then I knew something good will happen. Then later on, last night, after the class, she was down there with me. Pretty, I got something to share. And then she told me that. That's why I want her to share with her own words, so that you all understand. Very good. Continue, Vijay.
Yeah, but like you say, when it happens, the person will know it. And subsequently, it's like every time I sit down or whatever I do, it's like I bring the attention to myself to like silent down, and then you will feel the sati.
Yeah, you yourself can feel it. Yeah. Then your mind becomes very different. Clarity on, and can absorb a lot of things. That's why very different. Just like Cindy, Joey described as, instead of the mind open up, the heart open up. I said, really can follow so much joy, and everything become like very clear. Then benefited a lot. Then Cindy, because he was prepared with the sati and all things over the last 4 years hearing. He said, of all the retreats she went, this is the best. Everything is so conducive. The nature, the environment, the vibration. And he used the word, what really? I call it two treasure. He used another word. What was that word you say? Two what? You have two what? Wonders. Wonders, is it wonders? People say caught between two problems, she caught between two wonders, which one to attend? Well, both were so good. The vibration there, the chanting, and the class here, the energy, everything. And today, I don't know why, I need to come out, because I need the fresh air. So at about 4:15, I already out. So I saw the Sufu came and light the incense and the candle. Then I rejoiced. Then after that, I wait for the Sufu to leave. Then I came in, I sat here. I saw the whole hall empty, nobody. But about 4:30 or 4:30 something like that, I was meditating, but I sensed somebody coming in. There is this understanding that that person is sitting over there. So I knew it must be Cindy. Then after that, I continue until I think the bell ring, the 5 o'clock one. When I heard the bell, I opened my eye. I saw Cindy sitting down there. She is the only one. 4-something already here. That's why when you had the faith, when you are at the retreat, you no need to rest and sleep. Last time I also said, you wake up very early, you're full of energy, and I hardly sleep at that time. Oh, then everything is so conducive, you settle down very fast. Then the stillness of nature within the Sampo temple and its vicinity. There is one kilometer, I forgot who, somebody also told me, pretty very easy to meditate. Yeah. Settle down very fast. Yeah. So all this can happen if you have the faith, the sadha, then the understanding to actually listen attentively, like what I share in the book. When you listen attentively, means inside, no verbalization, no chattering, no interference from your views, opinion, conditioning, and memory. That is the art of listening, attentive, not conditioned or distracted or clouded by all the what they call noise up there. Because these are your habitual thinking, your reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And this activity has been going on in the mind of heedless living being without you knowing it or understanding it, because you lack mindfulness, you are not sensitive. So when you develop the understanding and the training, you become different. Your mind transforms. Just like Joey said, how come now I got hardly any thought? Like the thought reduced by a lot. And now can settle down very fast. Lie down also very easy. The awareness just comes. Then can understand the sharing, the teaching very clear. How is it possible? It's because of the faith. It's because of the sincerity that allow them to do all this. Okay, we have to finish. Yeah, PG, wrap it up. Oh.
Yeah, I just want to say something to fellow Kalamitas.
Mm.
This round, the energy in this place is very different. I think a lot of Kalamitas can feel it too.
Mm.
So to take this opportunity to develop whatever silence, sati, and understanding. Liberato says a lot of us, our chattering mind is so usual for us.
Yeah.
I'm the number one, I can tell you. My mind is endless chattering. But this round, I try to see the thoughts come up. Just be with it for a while.
Just like what Joey said, let it be, let things be. When you don't give it attention or continue with the heedlessness, then that flowering of those thoughts and emotions will lead to the ending of it. That's why all those will slow down. Then suddenly you feel up there like clarity, not agitated anymore, no more of those sankhara, chattering, and verbalization and reaction to sense experience. And all the very, to me, it's very stressful type of activity. And that is not the mind of a real living being or cultivator that has the understanding. That type of mind is really suffering. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So thank you, BJ. Now I just finish off the thing, a bit more to go. Just like the monks, if you support them, they support you back in kind, in the form of their Dhamma sharing via their understanding. They will rejoice with your Dana Parami and offering. They will help you invoke the appropriate pure wish. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the Dhamma. So in return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is why The Buddha says, sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness, it's also the source of great spiritual wealth. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth that can be lost or can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within our spiritual nature. And when you connect via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept or virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That is why it is the source of spiritual, true spiritual peacefulness of mind. The serene, calm and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem. Because when you keep your precept, you don't harm people, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive, and you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have very few problems. Less fear, less worry, and less anxiety. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those CBT and criminal-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when negative karma ripen, they will condition you into a lot of suffering and misery, causing your mind to become restless. That's why there is no peace within, and you become heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it is the source of true spiritual peacefulness of mind. True spiritual peacefulness of mind can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. That's how it all operates. That's how the training is to be understood. So if you want, you better get a copy behind. I think there is only four copies left, if I'm not wrong. So if you want, you can have it. Otherwise, you can wait till we reach PJ at my house. Remind me, I can pass it to you if you want. Yeah. Or online also have brotio.com. Oh, you receive already? Oh, you can see. It's online. You can go and Google. So if you are used to soft copy, better go to the website. If you want hard copy, then of course you have to get a copy at the back. I think enough. Most of them can get from website. Okay, there is one last part that I want you to understand. You turn to page 46. So the earlier one, you go and read yourself. I read to you from page 46. When there is delusion, you will speak and comment that way. They are so egoic in their comment because they take sides. They are attached to their method and technique of meditation and also their teacher. And only theirs is the correct meditation. The rest are all wrong. So you have that type of mind, you should straighten your view and have an open mind. Where it's very dangerous. It will lead to division, argument, negative karmic consequences. Have an open mind. If you do not understand, do not comment. Just let things be. If you can understand, you should rejoice. Not until when you really have the understanding, it's better to have an open mind. Because you can never understand how penetrative people's cultivation is until you yourself can really understand. Then the important one in bold is, so if you do not have that clear understanding, try not to judge with your own limited understanding. Please do not react and make all those comments. Okay? Then the audience rejoices, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then I further explain. I say, have an open mind is very important. Well, you have nothing to lose. Open mind means, if I still do not understand, I do not want to get involved. I do not want to create unnecessary wrong speech, wrong action, and conflict or division. I just accept them for what they are. Maybe later on, when I cultivate and understand, then I will investigate into all this. At the moment, I just listen, no harm. But if you have a very rigid mindset, you will resist. Just like the Zen analogy, if your cup is full, whatever tea pour into it will all flow out. Because you say you know already, everything else is not important. When your cup is full, you cannot learn. You are not having the open mind. Or you are not open-minded. Eh? Then having an open mind means you listen attentively, no right, no wrong. Then everything goes in. Then you investigate, you screen. If you cannot understand, then let things be. Well, later on, when you develop the cultivation, you may understand. Then you will be very surprised. Having an open mind is like maintaining an empty cup. Just listen. When you are ready, you will understand. It will become like very different. Then I say, thanks for the question, Sister Ingbi. Well, Ingbi asked that question. I also didn't know that it was on page 21. But it is good that she read the book. If you want to understand life, read the green transcript book. Who are you? What are you? It's at the back there though. You can get a copy. It's a very important book and it is very penetrative. That type of Dhamma is very rare in this world. And few people can explain it to you so clearly. Then 3.4, you go and read yourself. It's also a question by Sister Ingbi. Wow, that day Ingbi asked 4 questions. Wow, sadhu. Very good question. This one is about the 5 aggregates. You all go and read. It's very good. About perception, memory, how the second aspect of the 5 aggregates come to be. Okay? So now we continue with our Heart Sutta sharing. So who want to read? Manyuan or Manyuan first. So Manyuan, your voice recovered, huh? Good. Okay.
26 Heart Sutra class, page 140. 1.1. Understanding thoughts, knowledge, and wisdom. Clinging to all teachings or Dhamma via knowledge or memories is of not much use, and one must instead awaken to the truth or Dhamma, especially the 3 universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering states, and non-self or empty nature of all phenomena, to arise the wisdom born of direct seeing, because only wisdom or understanding can free the mind. The mind once awakened is no longer deluded, and the understanding is always there, because understanding or uniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, is not knowledge. The Dhamma is like the raft acting as a means to take one across the ocean of suffering, and once awakened, one must not carry the raft around. Also, one must not mistake the finger pointing at the moon, which is analogous with the Dhamma pointing towards the truth, as the moon. The emphasis of our present civilization is mainly on IT, science and technological advancement, hence the overuse of the human thought processes via this type of very competitive knowledge-based education system. The spiritual cultivation via sati or awareness and the creative mind has been neglected for too long. You cannot use thought and knowledge to liberate the mind from delusion and ignorance, because thought is limited and egoic. Only through the cultivation of wisdom via mindfulness or awareness to understand who you are and what you are can we understand what anatta is. You cannot rely on thought anymore. You should inquire via your heedfulness. Is the human being or the five aggregates of form and mind really what you are? In the olden days, when we did not use the thought process so rampantly, we tend to be more intuitive and creative because we use more of our senses and inner nature to feel and be aware instead of constantly preoccupied with our thought processes and its related reactions to what we see, hear and think, etc., via our heedless living. But when civilization has evolved over the last few centuries and the emphasis nowadays is more on science and technology and IT type of education, which is mainly knowledge and thought-based. So we tend to use the thought process more and more to acquire scientific, technological and IT knowledge, and in the process, we overlook our natural or true mind of stillness and peace, which is without thought, more creative, that has a lot of clarity within. The moment those who are not yet enlightened use thought from their forehead where their brain is situated, it will cause their mind to stir, hence disrupting its natural state of pure, calm, inner awareness and stillness. We therefore need to develop the wisdom to balance our life so that we are not deluded and drawn by the overemphasizing on the heedless thinking process to disrupt our spiritual life of awareness, heedful living. Instead of being 90%+ of the time using the thinking process from our forehead, we should reverse it to only use it when necessary to live life with a silent and clear mind, with inner awareness from the heart most of the time. Only then do we know how to live life via our essence of mind or the true mind after realizing the anatta nature of these five aggregates of form and mind of ours. To develop this understanding or wisdom, we need to develop sati or mindfulness awareness to reconnect back to our essence of mind. So stay at the heart and be aware from there to live life, have love and be love. Understand that thoughts are a response to memories. So if we maintain our attention at our forehead, then thought will constantly arise, and because of our delusion, thought will create the center, which is the I and the me, or self-delusion, sakkayaditti, thereby conditioning us to act and react heedlessly. A strong thought is always limited and egoic. It will condition our fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, and emotional negativity. Knowledge binds. Hence, the reason why all knowledge which is thought-based knowledge is not wisdom, and it will become...
All knowing.
Yeah.
When you say you know, all knowing which is thought-based knowledge is not wisdom. Yeah, you continue.
And it will become an obstruction to spiritual cultivation. This is why the Pure Land teaching of the Infinite Life Sutra or Wu Liang Shou Jing, most profound quotes are 所知障 or 烦恼障, i.e. all-knowing via memories or knowledge are obstructions, and all fear, worries and anxieties are obstructions too. We are so used to thought-based living. Thought-based living is very egoic, hence a lot of selfishness and possessiveness. It is motivated by what your thought tells you. Our thoughts are conditioned thinking, conditioned by our wrong views and opinions caused by our sakkayaditti or self-delusion. These conditioned thinking are mainly our habitual tendencies that will cause us to deludedly react, hold, cling, and grasp onto a lot of things which we think we can own and possess or desire and reject. Before thought, it is just spacious awareness or the entire oneness. Then the moment we focus or concentrate, thought is being created via the input of the content of consciousness, which are our perception, feeling, emotions, thinking, and other activities of mind, etc. Within that space, hence, thought becomes limited because it shrinks the whole of the spacious awareness into the narrow field of focusing. No focusing implies no thought, and without thought, there is no center of the I and the me. Hence, no need to fear, worry,
no one to fear, worry,
become anxious, selfish, and emotional, etc. Which implies peace, pure awareness, tranquility, and stillness. The awareness nature without delusion is the essence of mind. To prepare for this coming 2012 expected transformation of consciousness and great shift, we only need to be aware and stay at the heart, have love and be loved, then everything will be alright. That is, heart-based awareness and no more thought-based living from the forehead. Then, naturally, overnight you may transform if you do not arise any fear. The pure awareness state before the arising of thought has no center, which implies no being, hence anatta. Thought has the power to divide via words, concepts, and ideas, etc., and creates the center, the I and the me, resulting in selfishness, anger, possessiveness, delusion, fear, worry, and anxiety, etc. This sakaya ditti or self-delusion will condition us to believe that there is a thinker behind the thought, and that there is an observer and the observed. The moment we awaken to the fact that it is only consciousness, and every sense door consciousness is naturally conditioned arising, then this delusion of self will automatically cease to be. Remember the analogy of the lighting up of the light bulb when the switch is switched on? The moment there is delusion, the egoic mind or mundane mind or thought will grasp and cling due to the 12 links, i.e. through ignorance, contact triggers off mental activities, which include perception, memory, sakayatiti, self-delusion, etc. Then contact feeling, craving, grasping, becoming and birth, leading to the whole mass of suffering. Just maintain awareness without thought, then everything will cease to be. Silence your mind and you will awaken to this truth. No thought means no center, no ego, no becoming, no fear, no selfishness, etc. Understand how you get yourself entangled with life while not understanding the Four Noble Truths. First Noble Truth of Dukkha explains clearly the realities of life and existence and the final summary of what Dukkha is. Second Noble Truth explains the cause of suffering, which is craving conditioned by one's delusion and ignorance. Third Noble Truth, suffering need not be, and enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. Fourth Noble Truth, the Noble Eightfold Path leading to enlightenment and the cessation of all suffering. 1.2. The beauty of the Noble Truth as a summary of all of life. Question 1. Brother Teo, can you explain again what you meant by the Buddha was able to summarize all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, into just four simple but very beautiful noble truths, which is the essence of his teaching? And can you also explain which part is mundane and which part is the supramundane? Brother Teo answered, as stated above, the first noble truth of suffering or dukkha clearly explains all of the eight realities of life and existence that cover all aspects of our mundane life and life experiences ranging from birth, old age, sickness, and death, to separation from our loved ones and prized possession, and to be with people whom we don't like, not able to get what one desires, or when things don't go our way or follow our expectation. And the final summary of attachment to the five aggregates of the form of nine, upadana khanda, as the cause of all suffering. The Buddha also cautioned living beings that if they do not develop the wisdom needed to free their mind before confronting this first noble truth of dukkha's life realities, then they will definitely be afflicted by it, and suffering will be the result. Then the Buddha proclaimed the second noble truth that explains clearly the cause behind all suffering, so that living beings can develop the understanding not to be gullible anymore. After understanding what suffering is and their cause behind, they will know how to manage their life better, so that they need not have to suffer unnecessarily anymore. Then the Buddha proceeded to explain under the third noble truth that suffering need not be if one has the Dhamma, and there is such a noble truth that talks about the possibility of realizing Nibbana or the enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the cessation of all suffering. This enlightenment or Nibbana is the supra-mundane realization. Then the Buddha explained how this enlightenment can be realized while proclaiming the fourth noble truth that states, there is a path leading to the cessation of all suffering, namely the noble eightfold path of right view, right thought, right communication or speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. Once this noble eightfold path has been cultivated, it can lead to the supra-mundane way of living, the noble life of the noble or enlightened ones following the noble eightfold path. The entire eight path factors within the noble eightfold path, they are all so noble and relevant to life, and they cover all of life, both the mundane and the supra-mundane aspects. In order to live life, we must have the understanding of what is life. And to understand life, we must have the first path factor of right understanding, or right view with regards to nature's laws that govern all of life and existence, especially the three great spiritual laws of karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then to live life, we have to use thoughts, we have to communicate via speech, email, etc., and we also need to act and work to live life, hence the importance of having the second to five path factors of right thoughts, right speech communication, right actions, and right living cultivated. Then we need the four right efforts path to factor to purify our actions, speeches, and thoughts, followed by right mindfulness to be heedful to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And finally, the last path factor of right samadhi to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom to become enlightened. That is also the reason why the Buddha gives the analogy of the handful of leaves at Kozambi to the monks to impress upon them the importance of understanding the Four Noble Truths, which is so essential to live the holy life. These Four Noble Truths at its three turnings are also the Buddha's first teaching or his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which he expounded immediately after his enlightenment. This Dhamma cultivation is more or less a full-time job, i.e. throughout your waking hours, accumulating into 24 hours heedfulness cultivation. That is, we need to confine our cultivation fully on the Dhamma when undergoing the training, which consists of hearing, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Four Noble Truths and heedful direct seeing into phenomena via our daily mindfulness in life itself. But full-time job here doesn't mean one must retire or give up one's job or career. One can cultivate even in the midst of working and living life via the daily mindfulness, and this type of heedfulness and this type of heedfulness training. I always advise devotees or kalamitas as follows. If you have to work for survival, then work. If you need to work because too much free time and don't know how to retire, then work. If you really have the wisdom and you don't have to or need to work, then retire or semi-retire to do the things that you love or like to do.
Okay, so these three, I think, a lot of career people or business people, it is very relevant to their understanding. But most people don't know how to retire, or after retire, don't know what to do. I got a lot of classmates. They retire at the age of 50-something to 60. Sometimes 62, 63. You know what they tell me or not? They call me up. Tio, you were so early retire. What do you do? I say, you can tahan. I say, he try 1 week. He cannot sit anymore in the house. He keep on telling me, once out of office, it's like your title all gone. No, nobody respect you like before. Then when the news say the MD wants to retire already, want to call it a day, last day. Before the last day, a lot of people, some close one, maybe know him one, come and congratulate him, and like courtesy or say. But all those who need him one, support and all those things last time, they no longer turn up. No? But they know somebody new is going to take over. Then, without the 9 to 5, they feel very boring. They feel so boring, nothing to do. He said, already travel so much during the career time. Almost every now and then travel. Then, eat all sorts of food also eaten before already, he said. Then I say, if you have this problem, means you need to work, understand or not? So here I say, have to work and need to work. You know the difference, right? Yeah, you know the difference, right? Have to work means not enough money, lah. So you got no choice, you have to work, lah. But this fellow got money, don't know how to retire. So this one need to work, lah. You understand, lah? So I said, you have to work, you work, lah. You need to work also, you work, lah. But if you already have the wisdom and the understanding and the means, and you don't have to or need to work, then retire lah. Understand lah? That's what I did. Or semi-retire to do the things that you love to do or like to do. So when they ask me what I do, I say I like investment, I do investment lah. I like to teach meditation, Dhamma, the Buddhist teaching, I teach lah. Then he looked at me, I don't like those things one. No. I said, you don't like those things, then in life, what do you like? He said, I like to travel lah. I like to have good life lah. Then I said, go and do lah. He said, after so many years in the career line, I do until I sian already. But lately, a lot of them got grandchildren already. Now we are 70 already. So they tell me different story. I know why I must retire. Really no time. Got to travel London, my daughter there. Got to travel Australia, my son there. Every place, two months, very tired. Come back, rest for a while. Then travel again. Then you know what he told me after that. Last time luggage all no problem. No. Last time got driver. Now everything kaki liar. Then he say, the luggage cannot put too heavy. Here pain, there pain, backache. Then got one slip disc, go for 3 operation. There are a lot of disease sickness related to old age surface. Oh. Then recently the website, there was one guy, he said, advised by the doctor, the kneecap, had to inject a type of fluid. So he asked, anybody experienced this before, whether this fluid was good or not? Everybody, almost, I think more than 10 of them, immediately shut up. He said, my bow also changed already. Not inject liquid fluid. He said, they all cannot pakai. Both the kneecap also replaced. Then how long they suffer, all the story come out. Then the others is cancer, stroke. All the, what they call, disease, sickness, and aging one, all come out. Then he say, anybody got dementia? Last time when we have dinner, class gathering, we talk about old days, career, politics, all sorts of things. Now, everybody want to talk about health. Health, very important. Yeah. Then, because they realize quite a number already immigrated. No? You know what is immigrated? 移民了, means they immigrate to another realm. No? Not immigrate to another country to live. No? They pass away already. This year itself, I think this year or end of last year, I forgot. Every month one, my university classmate passed away. Last time is 1 year, maybe 1 or 2 or 3. Now, every month one. Later on, I don't know. Maybe every month a few. So, don't take the Dhamma for granted. Then, when they say they cannot retire, they have to work, then I suggest to them, since you already in that position, dato some more everything, you go and do the easy work lah. Become director of a lot of company. Wow, people offer him, very experienced. So he non-executive director, everywhere got salary. And he complained to me some more. He said, hey, Tio, I didn't work, I have to pay 100,000 tax. You didn't work, you have to pay so much tax. He said, my director fee, my property renter, that. If I were you, I'm very happy to pay tax. He said, why? I said, you can afford to pay. If I like you can afford to pay, I pay lah. Because Malaysia maximum 25%. You got 75%. You somehow complain. You already so blessed. He said, this money, I retire already. I shouldn't pay tax one. So other type of complain. Got money also complain. No money also complain. Can retire, don't know how to retire, also complain. Understand? Not enough money, cannot retire. Also complain. Why? Don't have Dhamma, understand? Ask them to learn Dhamma and meditation. You know what he told me? Don't tell me to do this. The moment I close my eye, I was kun now, sleep already. So people who don't have interest in spiritual, you cannot blame them. They are just the way they are, understand? Anyway, it's their life, their choice. But they are good people. Most of these classmates who know me, they know I am different. They're very close to me and they trust me a lot. Yeah. And because of that, off and on, they invite me to their house, open house, take me out for lunch, dinner. Without them knowing, they got a lot of part of me. Actually, jia bi liao, but they don't know. That's why they successful in life. Every life they come, they're very successful. So this is what Dhamma can actually give you. So you don't have to like end up materialistic life very successful, but You don't know how to retire. Understand? You don't know how to do things that you like in life. Because a lot of people actually don't know how to live life. That's why the next part is what? I read, but I save you some vocal problem. Learn to live life and not to worry about life. Why you going to worry about life? God, good life for you to live. You have the means. You don't know how to live. You complain here, complain there, just like what last time, yesterday, Sui wrote on the whiteboard. That wrong thought trigger off a lot of things, or bosong, frustrated, resentment. Got money also bosong. No money also bosong. Can retire also don't know how to retire. So this type of people, how are you going to advise them? Then finally, I will tell them, actually, we all very, very lucky already. Compared to all those on the street, worry about the food and shelter and their problem, we are already very blessed. Then he laughed. Yeah, lah. But don't have the understanding to live life, still complain. So all this is what the reality of life and existence are. You don't know the Dhamma, you don't know the secret of life, you don't know how to live life. Then I say, if you are a cultivator, to be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative to realize the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. The most important meditative training or meditation training is to cultivate the daily mindfulness. We are following this instruction. You can follow this, your daily mindfulness will come. We choose aware of our every bodily and mental action and movement within the present moment. This one is taught to me by my teacher Ajayantra. He said the highest meditation. We choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. You can do that, your daily mindfulness sure come. Very stable. And you will see a lot of things that you never see before. When your mindfulness becomes continuous, your nature has the ability to comprehend and understand many things. It will see things as they are. It will insight in the phenomena. It will awaken just by itself. Then you realize life itself is your teacher. It's your greatest teacher. Where everything in life can teach you, can give rise to understanding to you. Because you see the universal characteristic everywhere. Then you see clearly all the law that governs life and existence. Then you see how you function as a human being, how your mind follows paticca samuppada. Then you see truth everywhere. That's how you develop wisdom, insight. And wisdom is not knowledge, not stored in the brain or the memory. Wisdom is an understanding that arises through awakening, through the direct seeing, through silent observation of what is, to comprehend life clearly. If you understand life, you know how to live life, then you have the good life. So basically, Dhamma is very important. Okay? Maya, continue.
Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 26. 2.1 Definitions. Mental formation. Sankhara or activities of mind. Everything that the mind can do. Impermanence, a universal characteristic prevalence in all phenomena. See clearly how phenomenon comes and how it goes, how they arises and passes away, their birth and death, their rise and fall, etc. All conditioned arising phenomena are impermanent, and they do not have a permanent unchanging entity of their own. Hence, they cannot be owned or held onto as the I and the me. Our fundamental nature is the oneness or Buddha nature. 2.2. Saying by Most Venerable Master Guan Qing Lao Hesang. Number 1. Guo qi xing bu ke de, The mind of the past cannot be grasped onto because it is already gone, not a reality. 未来心不可得. The mind of the future also cannot be grasped onto because it has yet to come, also not a reality.
但现在心也不可得.
The mind of the moment is the only reality and the highest in mind. But to transcend life, we have to transcend even the moment, which is still within the field of thought. Hence, the reason why the mind of the present moment also cannot be grasped onto, because it is so transient and unstable. Split second, it is dead and gone. Note, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you truly living life? Or are you too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life? So much so you totally miss out on life. That is, you never get to truly live life. To be with the moment in silent awareness within, to feel and to experience the reality of the moment, including all of its wonders and beauty of life, is to truly live life. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. Question 1. What is the difference between contemplation and thinking? Brother Teo answered, to contemplate on the Dharma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of the truth that he has given under his first learning of the Four Noble Truths. This contemplative wisdom, called Cittamayapanya, is part of the second learning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. To develop this contemplation, one must have a calm and composed mind with the spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, and Samadhi in its creative state to inquire and reflect deep into its second turning's hidden meaning. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry investigation with the creative mind in Sati. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking, to bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first learning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician or a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent. Their mind is usually very quiet, calm and rather creative at that time, and that is the reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you and read about. Listen with attentiveness and calm and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with that calm mind, with very little or no thinking. Reflection is like inquiring and contemplation, and its purpose is to stabilize what one understands. Note, assimilating the Dharma is analogous to assimilating the food, i.e. like assimilating or absorbing the nutrients after eating the food. 29 Heart Sutra Class 1.1. Short Notes from Surangama Sutra. The Surangama Sutra is important because without it, the Maras will create havoc. According to Master Suenghua, this sutra will be the first sutra to disappear during the Dharma ending age. If this sutra is around, the Maras will find it very difficult to delude the cultivators. This sutra explains clearly the danger of the 50 deviant samadhi or Wu Shi Yi Mo.
五世疑魔
that can trap the cultivators if they deludedly grasp onto any of them. The Surangama Sutra also explains how the living beings come into this world of existence via the four stages of manifestation originating from the source. These four stages of manifestations are clearly explained in the notes to be given out at the next Tuesday class. From the source comes the true mind in pure awareness before the knowing. Man, because of the basic ignorance caused since time without beginning, by the first thought which screened the true mind, becomes subjected to birth and death. Thus, both permanent and impermanent unite to transform that true mind into alaya vijnana, or store consciousness, the root of samsara. This alaya consciousness has three characteristics: a karmic one, which is a basic ignorance resulting from self-evidencing, a changing or condition arising one which turns fundamental wisdom into false perception, the root of the first seven consciousness, and its expression in appearances or forms or forms. Because of basic ignorance, the spiritual bright and nirvanic absolute void was changed into dull and deluded emptiness. Hence Manjushri said, thus in delusion there appeared one-sided emptiness. Within this dull emptiness, ignorance gradually crystallized and turned into illusionary form, made of the four elements, resulting in an imaginary world created within the void. When false perceptions confronted form, a very small portion of this form was gradually grasped as being self-possessed and being supported by wrong perception. Mind and form united and grasped at this dim little form as the ego, thereby creating the living being made up of the five aggregates of form and mind. Hence Manjushri continued, steadying itself, the thinking process made the continence, and the illusionary power knower became the living being. Then, via delusion and ignorance, the living being with the mundane or samsaric mind, five mental aggregates of form and mind, came to be via karmic conditioning, and this was then grasped at, hence the self-delusion or sakayaditi. This was the origin of a living being. Ever since then, this living being grasps at the condition arising five aggregates of form and mind, as the ego, as the I, and the me. So how then can he now recognize its boundless true mind before the stirring? Then comes the external phenomena world, or world of form or consciousness, created by the mundane mind, via its condition arising thoughts and consciousness. So our meditation is to develop the wisdom, to understand all this retrospectively, to return the entire external phenomena world back to consciousness within the mundane mind, then silent and still the mundane mind to connect back to our true mind before returning to the source via the complete cessation of form and mind.
Okay, very good. So this is from the Surangama Sutta. It's not easy for you all, most of you, but don't worry. Later on when you cultivate, after you have the stability or sati, then you read again different. Your understanding will be there. Anyway, like I told you, in 2019, I came out with this chart. I think Sui can take it there. So I now will explain this chart to you. This is the complete picture. Surangama Sutta only explain to you how living being come into being, from the what they call source or the great void. Can you all see? Can I? You on your handphone. You want me to send to you or not? I send to you. Already sent, Never mind, but very difficult to find. I will send again. Okay. You see, the Surangama Sutta, Tuesday class sharing, held at SS2 PJ, my house. So this one is the subtitle, Important Special Dhamma, shared on the 12th March 2013. So, 11 years ago. Tuesday class is 8:30 to 10:30, okay? So the Surangama Sutta got a famous saying, Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom, to see things as they are. So this one by now, all of you should understand. Your perception of form is mundane seeing. All the external form you will see, but they are mundane. Whereas the non-perception, the direct seeing, you don't perceive anything. You see things as they are, using the pure awareness. No word, nothing. That's why you don't see anything. Whereas it's non-perception, when you see things as they are, just like what Cindy understands. Seeing lah. All the activity of the brain don't come in to perceive and to label and to create all the unnecessary wrong thought or what we call sankara activity. Understand? So because of that, the direct seeing gives rise to the non-perception, and that is wisdom. If you cannot see things as they are, the direct seeing, via that pure awareness nature or the true mind, you cannot develop wisdom. Then here, liberation lead to peace, love, joy, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, a free mind. This will give rise to enlightened living via the five spiritual faculty and noble eightfold path. So these are the two things that you have to understand. Then from here, the source, the first thing to come out is the true mind. So this source, they have given it many names. Some call it the original nature, Mahayana, 本来的面目, or our true nature, or the Buddha nature. Some also call it the oneness nature. Then the true mind is the pure awareness nature. That's why this one is just aware. It cannot come out and live life because just pure awareness before the thought or the knowing arise. Here the mundane mind cannot arise. But from here, spacious awareness, it can create thought. That's why it creates the mundane mind. So this mundane mind actually is down here, the samsaric mind. Then from here, you cultivate, develop the meditation, transformation, via wisdom, you have the supramundane mind. So here I draw is from the source come out, the first thing to come out is the true mind, then you develop the cultivation as a human being to transform the samsaric mind or the mundane mind into the supramundane mind. You understand? This is enlightened living. Then with the supramundane mind, you can go two ways. One, you can live life like what Heart Sutta say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. So here, existential world or phenomenal world of consciousness, enlightenment living, you got no delusion on. You can live life beautifully to the fullest. You can experience all of the pristine wonders and beauty of life. And this is what wonderful existence is all about. But human beings' problem is, you start from here. Understand not? Then most human beings are trapped in mundane living. What is mundane living? Mundane living is dominated by the five mental hindrances and the three evil roots leading to suffering. Then the external phenomenal world of consciousness and form, having the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, you don't understand. So because of that, living being develop suffering through the mundane living. Then they are caught in the five aggregates of form and mind, grasping aggregate, upadana kanda. And this one under the final summary of the first number truth, the Buddha say, the human being is being grasped at as the I, the me, and the ego, or the atta. Due to Sakaya Ditti. That's how suffering come to be. Then after that, the Buddha say, your mind is a forerunner of all things. Okay? This is mundane mind. Samsaric mind. Understand? Because you continue in samsara. Unless you become enlightened, you go up here. Transformation via wisdom. and it becomes the supramundane mind. So here, samsaric or mundane mind cling and grabs onto the five aggregates of form and mind via delusion, leading to heedless living. Whereas you come over this side, what do? You start to develop what I taught you yesterday, the block cut analogy, or the day before, I forgot already. Anything perceivable by the mind is a mental phenomenon, like the block cut analogy. When the parts come together, enabling it to perform a function, we give it a name and a concept. Then the block cut arises already, exists already. But when the block cut parts are separated, the block cut is gone and no more. Hence, it's condition arising nature. Understand or not? Like the table, the building, everything you come to perceive, they are dependent originating, condition arising. No condition, nothing happened. So this is very penetrative. So from here, you learn how to see form. You learn how to see the unreality of form, like I taught you. Here is dependent originating, condition arising. Then how do you know that it is a block cut or a table? Through your mental perception. It's only an image, understand or not? How real can the image be? Externally already not so real. We are dependent originating, understand or not? Condition arising. No condition exists to be. Then how do you know it? Through your mental perception, it's just an image. It's even more unreal. Then the question is, why do you foolishly then grasp onto it, cling onto it, and give meaning and want to fight over it? Understand not? That is real delusion. So after you penetrate this, you will come to understand that form is unreal. Form is not what you think. That's why you go beyond form. Form has got no more power. Then you look at the mind. The mind also same. It also exhibits the three universal characteristics. You learn to see mind. You learn to see the unreality of mind. Your mind, all the aggregates are dependent originating, condition arising. Feeling needs sense basis, need contact, need the sense data. Without that, it cannot trigger off, like the physics experiment. So it's dependent originating. Then perception also same. Without the mundane mind, it cannot perceive. Understand how? Perception come and go, you didn't die. So all this very clearly show it to you that mind is not you, not a permanent unchanged entity. And all these aggregates are dependent originating. That's why it's impermanent. You attach and cling and want things your way, you suffer. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, then how can you say this is me, this is I? Understand not? Like the Buddha said, if it's self, it will not tend towards suffering. Then I can say, let this be such, let this be such, and let this not be such. Just like the body. Don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. Impossible. It goes the way of nature. But it's not you. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you have control over. The body you want to get sick, it never seek permission. You want to die also, it don't seek permission. Everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. So when you see this, then you see and understand impermanent and empty or non-self nature of all phenomena. Then you see them as condition arising, perceived through mental, just an image in the mind. So even more unreal. So you learn to see form, you learn to see mind. You learn to see the unreality of form, the unreality of mind. We are dependent originating. And then you can see beyond form and beyond mind. The other way is, as a human being, you identify with the external form, what do you see? Yeah, what do you see? Brad Teo is a old man, okay? Male, Chinese, Malaysian, maybe a lot of people don't know, only you all know. Because your nationality is on your passport, not chopped on your head, understand? So what I want you to understand is, you look at the form, you get trapped in form, understand? We are form divide. Then male, female based on gender, race based on what skin and color I have and how I was born into this world. Then young, old, then haggard, handsome, beautiful. All this division come from what? Thought that perceive this form, understand not? Then you are different. Another person also different, especially another race. Young and old also different. Male, female also different. So at form level, thought has the power to divide and create a lot of argument, division, suffering, misery. Then if you see beyond this form, what do you see? Are we so different? Not so different already. Look at the mind. The mind got male, female or not? Don't have it. Then there is less division already. Understand not? But we still have division. Because we inside there got mundane mind and supramundane mind. If yours is the mundane mind, differ a lot one. No? Your views, your opinion, your belief system, your religious entity and tradition that you hold on to, your education, your knowledge, all this divide. Understand? That's why the different races argue and fight. Some religion over war for how long? So when you see beyond form, less problem, but you still not the same, understand not? Your belief system, your ideology, your conditioning, you still argue, still conflict. And if you have the direct seeing, you see beyond mind, then what do you see? Yeah? What do you see? Pure awareness nature is there. Got different or not? Everyone is the same. That's why I learn to see beyond form, beyond mind, then you realize the truth, the Dhamma. Understand? When you are here, all this you can see clearly. They are created. They have the universal characteristic of anicang, dukkang, and anatta. Not what you think. Now you understand. That's why I learn how to see form, unreality of form. Then see beyond form. When you see beyond form, you see mind. More difficult to see, but not so tangible. You need mindfulness, you need awareness. Then when you see that, hey, got mundane mind or samsaric mind, this one's still a lot of different, no. People still argue and fight, no. Then when I learn to see beyond this fellow, the direct seeing, then I see all this creation as nature's condition. Then like my teacher say, nature, yeah? Only mighty nature rolling by. Understand not? Eh? Then everything is the way it is. Be nature's law. Condition like that, things will learn. Then this one understand. Then go back and return to this sis, nibbana. You go back to the source. Then you want to live life from here with the wisdom connected, understanding, the wisdom connected. You can also live life. Understand not? This is what samsara, existence, life, and enlightenment living is all about. Can follow? That's why this chart is very comprehensive, very beautiful. Sadhu. Go back and understand it. Then it will help you a lot. Okay? Anybody got any question? Don't have. Continue.
1.2. A conditioned arising phenomena world of consciousness. Everything you come to know and perceive is manifested through mind. Mind make a day. A conditioned arising phenomena world of consciousness. Before mind arises, there was nothing. So everything comes about after mind has arisen via mental consciousness. So how real can mental consciousness be? Just a mental image, isn't it? Constantly arising and passing away from moment to moment. Hence, it is impermanence and empty or anatta nature. If you can't understand all this via wisdom, then you will grasp and cling onto all these mental manifestations very strongly, thinking that they are real. This is delusion, and it can be so powerful as to cause you a lot of suffering via your sorrow, lamentation, and fear, etc. When you train your mind to be silent, ever mindful and heedful, then you will be able to see things as they are, thereby developing the wisdom and understanding to enable you to free and liberate your mind so that you need not suffer anymore. Then you will be able to connect to the true mind and live from there. It is this pure mind, true mind, in pure awareness that can see things as they are to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. When wisdom stabilizes, the mundane mind will realize itself and ceases to be, leading to the realization of Nibbana. Nibbana is complete cessation of form and mind. Even the pure awareness also will cease, and it cannot be talked about because it is unconditioned and beyond the form and mind. The Mahayana's sixth consciousness is the Theravada's Sanya aggregate of mind, which is usually translated as mental perception or connection. It also includes the conception and discerning aspects of the mundane mind, but the key meaning is perception and cognition. The first five types of consciousness are seeing, hearing, smelling, tactile, and tasting consciousness, and the sixth, seventh, and eighth consciousness of the Mahayana are within the mental consciousness that arise upon contact of mind with its respective sense organ and data. The mundane mind or false thinking mind is not your true mind because it is conditioned arising, i.e. not a permanent unchanging entity. It has no nature of its own, whereas Nirvana is totally different because it is the unconditioned. Once the mundane mind completely ceases, then the true mind will manifest, leading upstream to the realization of the oneness nature, Buddha nature. Mundane mind is deluded, heedless thinking mind, capable of false perception, cognition, memory, knowledge, and false thinking, karmic related. Sankara and Sanya are very active inside it. It constantly clings and grabs onto sense data, whereas the true mind is the silent, heedful mind, pure and clear, profound, bright mind. It can be aware of sense data, thoughts, and it can also see things as they are. The mind of the enlightened one is connected to their true mind with wisdom. It is essence of mind, the unconditioned mind. Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 29, 2.1, Sanya, Perception, brings the external form into the mind via mental perception, and it is also called the sixth consciousness. This external form then becomes the mental form or sense data for mind to arise mental consciousness because mind is also an organ. Seventh consciousness, Sankara, is likened to the mental organ, and upon contact within mind via the mental activities of Sankara triggers off the eighth consciousness, Alaya or storehouse consciousness, Vinaya. 2.2. The four foundations of mindfulness in brief. First foundation, Kaya Nupassana, starts with A. Anapanasati, mindfulness of in and out breath, to train the mind to be in sati, to develop heedfulness. 2. Abhi, once heedful, cultivate mindfulness of the four postures of standing, sitting, walking, and lying down. C. Then move on to cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness with clear comprehension of all the connecting activities in between the four postures, i.e. daily mindfulness of all actions and movements in the present moment to develop the initial insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Four types of clear comprehension are clear comprehension of sincerity of purpose, domains of meditation, reality of the here and the now, and lastly, non-delusion. D. The cultivate mindfulness of the four elements which constitute this physical form to see its anatta nature. E. Then contemplate the 32 parts that constitute this physical body to understand its condition arising nature of all the parts coming together to perform the function of a human being and to realize its foundness. F. Finally, to contemplate 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of this physical form or body after it is devoid of consciousness. Second foundation, Vidana Nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling that arises upon contact of mind. A. Be aware of feeling. If feeling has been conditioned into pleasant and unpleasant feelings, then one has to be aware that it has become sensual desire and ill will, which are the first two of the 5 hindrances of mind, and it is also the first two evil roots of mind. With this awareness, we must arise the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thoughts that have arisen, followed by the right effort to prevent them from arising in the future. B. So during meditation, if we are not mindful of the uncomfortable tactile feeling that arises via lack of wisdom, then we will react to it and label it as painful or unpleasant feeling, which is the reason why your mind cannot be peaceful anymore, because pain is a mental hindrance. C. If we have this understanding, then we will be mindful of this feeling via our silent mind to investigate into it, to trace its origination factors so as to understand how the unarisen hindrance of mind comes to be. The mind will come to understand that if there is no wrong view or self-delusion, then the stirring of mind leading to the arising of the mental hindrance of sensual desire or ill will not happen. Then, while straightening one's view to accept things as they are, one will be able to retrospectively reverse it, thereby understanding how the disappearance of the arisen hindrance comes to be via wisdom. Then, as this wisdom finally stabilizes, one will also come to understand how the non-arising of these hindrances in the future comes to be. This is the way to develop wisdom or insight via Vedana Nupassana, and not via just noting pain, to do away with the pain via resisting, suppression and control, etc. D. To go deeper into the investigation, we can also inquire as follows. Before this unpleasant feeling arises, there was none. Hence, the awareness of this feeling, transforming into mental hindrances, can bring about an understanding of how the unarisen hindrance comes to be. How come I have this reaction of mine to those mental perceptions that I come to perceive while via my seeing or hearing or thinking, thereby conditioning the feeling or sensation into mental hindrances of sensual desire or ill will. It is because of one's conditioning to reject unpleasant feeling, which is a negative craving, hence a wrong view born of habitual tendency. If you can be at peace with what you perceive via accepting of what is, then there is no more wrong view. Then, with this right view or right understanding, one can just let things be and then silence one's mind to relax into it. When you do not react or grasp and cling onto the sensation with aversion or wrong view, then what happens? The hindrance is no more there, so the mind that accepts the reality of that sensation without reacting to it can be at peace with it. Hence, the mind can relax into it and the sensation will become normal and peaceful again. The lack of peace comes from your reaction of mind to try to do away with that unpleasant sensation that you have labeled via your wrong view. E. Meditation is to develop the wisdom to understand and then act with right view following the Noble Eightfold Path, which is incapable of negativity, to resolve all issues amicably, instead of reacting to them via delusion and wrong will, thereby creating more negativities in the process. So, the main purpose and intent of meditation is to realize the wisdom, to be at peace with any situation within the moment, and not to label it as pain, etc. With no more aversion, then only can we accept the reality of the moment, and to understand that it is because we do not know how to relax into it, causing the qi flow to be constricted, thereby causing that unpleasant sensation. That is what you should do. You don't have to resist, suppress, and control it. Third foundation, citta nupassana. A. Like feeling, here we go deep into the content of consciousness to be aware of its evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, and various states of consciousness, etc. When the content of consciousness has greed, one must be aware to deal with it as above, so as to develop the wisdom to free the mind. Fourth foundation, Dhamma Nupassana. Its first category of cultivation is A. Mindfulness of the five hindrances of mind, followed by B. Mindfulness of the five aggregates of form and mind, then C. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. The 18 sense rhymes to trace its origination factors and then retrospectively reverse them via wisdom. Then D. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the final cultivation of E. Mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths to realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. Once enlightened, there is no more delusion, so one will never be deluded by the five aggregates of form and mind anymore. One doesn't have to suffer anymore. One will know how to use the karmically conditioned form and mind to truly live the noble life wonderfully and meaningfully, following the Noble Eightfold Path, thereby becoming a blessing to all. This is the reason why the Heart Sutra said, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Part 3, Meditation 3.1. Understanding what mindfulness or sati is very important. Sati is before the knowing, just an awareness within the moment without thought, i.e. phenomenon and mind as one without thought. Like anapanasati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath, just feel the breathing and then mind and breath move as one to complete synchrony without thought, following the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, one is aware, and breathing out, one is aware, etc. A calm and peaceful mind is only a byproduct of a well-trained mind. But the main purpose and intent of the Buddha's meditation is not about becoming peaceful and calm only, but to develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations. Otherwise, one will be trapped with a mind that is attached to the good, to the calm and peaceful meditation as the good meditation. And when your meditation is not peaceful and calm, then you are afflicted and you label it as bad meditation. Hence, your sensual desire and ill will, which are hindrance of mind, are still there. Like the saying goes, any sense experience, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, is a prelude to suffering or dukkha. Even very fantastic and so-called good meditative experiences, including the experience of jhana, seeing of nimitta, etc., are just conditioned arising states within meditation, and unless one can develop the wisdom out of them to free the mind, then they are of not much use. 3.2. I follow question 1. Brother Teo, during the meditation, when I hear the birds very loud and excited chirping, I follow your instructions. Just be aware and no more noting. Is it correct? Brother Teo answered, it is very dangerous to do that because when you quote me and follow what I say, wire your own interpretation of it without proper investigation to develop your own understanding, then you become gullible. The reason being, when you are fully aware and without thought, the listening is very different because it is with the silent mind in full creative awareness and attentiveness. Only then can you truly awaken while clearly witnessing the condition arising nature of the hearing consciousness within your meditation. This is not as a concept or a theory, but truly realizing it during the meditation. So that is why I always say, don't quote me, but just cultivate to investigate and find out for yourself whether what I have said to you is true or not. Don't just believe me and be gullible, okay? Nevertheless, it is a good question because if you don't ask, I cannot point out your mistake and explain further. When you meditate, you just relax your body and mind and maintain the silent inner awareness to be watchful of what is going on within one's form and mind. How one reacts to sense experiences and get conditioned into the various mind states to become afflicted via one's heedlessness and wrong will, and how one functions as a human being and how we become what we are, how our mind, thoughts, feelings and emotions arise and pass away following the 12 links or law of dependent origination. Awareness or sati is the silent mind before the knowing, and it is just awareness and without thought, i.e. mind and phenomena as one in perfect harmony and synchrony to move and flow with life. But due to ignorance and delusion, the mind cannot become heedful or mindful because it thinks a lot and becomes very heedless via its habitual tendencies. Through ignorance, the mind keeps on reacting to sense experiences to arise the likes and dislikes, fear, worry and anxieties, and restlessness, doubt, etc. throughout the day. These are the five hindrances of mind that hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and calmness. Such continuous heedless thinking with the five mental hindrances will become so habitual, and this is the reason why most living beings think a lot and they find it so difficult to meditate. The moment they close their eyes, there are so many thoughts. So the first thing to do in meditation is to develop the opposite five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya via your daily devotional puja to counter the hindrances, thereby reversing all the heedless thinking so as to become more peaceful and calm. Another skillful means is to do the mind sweeping method, to just feel and relax the mind, to relax the body and mind without thinking so as to decondition your habitual heedless thinking. It will also train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. This is followed by anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath so as to develop apamada or heedfulness of mind. When the mind is trained and heedful, it listens to you. You want it to be silent, calm and peaceful, it will just do that. If you want it to be aware at the moment of feeling, perception, activities of mind and consciousness, it will just do that. Such a mind can meditate and understand what is going on. You want it to think, then only it thinks. Otherwise, it is silent, relaxed and just aware within. The mind becomes like very obedient and faithful servant, and it is always at your command to do what you instruct it to do, especially to live and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, and live life to the fullest and meaningfully. If the user of thoughts is wise, then thoughts become beautiful, right, and wholesome thoughts. Otherwise, if the user of thoughts is evil and heedless, then thoughts become evil, i.e., wrong thoughts that constantly condition one's evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, leading to all the suffering and miseries. This is the reason why the Noble Eightfold Path is about right thoughts only. The cultivation of the five spiritual faculties is very important because it can help you overcome the five hindrances of mind: sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt, thereby enabling you to understand easily the Buddha Dharma and meditation as taught by the Buddha. Radiating love and metta while reciting, "May this body of mine be well and happy always," also helps complement the cultivation because it will bring about a calm and composed mind with a lot of inner well-being and happiness. And these positive mind states of good vibration will help improve and strengthen your immune system. When the mind has a lot of well-being, joy and metta, it can become calm and composed because it is without the heedless thinking and hindrances of mind. Hence, it can be helpful to develop the meditation, especially after a stressful day. If one can meditate to bring about inner peace, inner well-being and inner clarity of mind, to develop the wisdom, then one can be in the state of constant, relaxed inner awareness with a lot of inner peace and joy always. 3.3. Meditation involves two important steps. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful or ever mindful via deconditioning one's habitual heedless thinking. Then the second step is to use that trained or heedful mind to meditate via cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. It is very important to understand what sati is. Also to understand that vipassana is not a knowledge that you can practice or learn via thought-based meditation, because it is an insight or wisdom that has to be awakened to via the direct seeing without thought. And wisdom is not a rigid knowledge that can be learned or practiced, because it is an understanding which is not rigid. This is the reason why the Buddha always say, "He only show us the way, but we must walk the path ourselves to awaken to it." We stands for the three universal characteristics of nature: anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And passana is insight into. So the meaning of vipassana is to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, thus awakening to this truth. Heart Sutra Class 2.1. The 18 sense rhyme consists of three sets of sixes. First set of six refers to the six internal sense bases or organs, five physical and one mental. Second set of six refers to the six external sense bases or sense data. Third set of six refers to their six respective sense door consciousness. Understanding these 18 fields or 18 sense realms can lead to the understanding of how you know the world and how you interact with the world, plus how you function as a human being, leading to the understanding of who are you and what are you. It is important for us to understand that, to understand what sankhara is. Sankhara is the content of consciousness, or everything that your mind can do, including the aggregates of feeling and perception. It includes all of your mental movements and activities, like mental states, intention, planning and scheming, formations, conditioned views and opinions, etc. The consciousness aggregate is the pure receptacle. Consciousness and its content becomes the thought, which is the mental five aggregates of form and mind that the Buddha referred to under his final summary of the first noble truth of dukkha, in which the Buddha said, "In short, it is due to one's self-delusion, sakkaya-ditti, that conditions one's craving and clinging to grasp onto these five aggregates of form and mind that he called dukkha. This is due to self-delusion. Living beings tend to attach, cling to their physical form, mental feeling, external forms that they come to perceive with every movement of consciousness, their mental thinking and mental consciousness. Taking them to be real and calling them the I and the me and the mind, leading to all the suffering. Take for example, when one perceives their loved ones, good friends and colleagues or pets, or various prized possessions like their property, money and wealth, etc., and grasps onto them, then what happens? The fear of separation of or losing them can arise if we don't have the wisdom and deludedly perceive them as really belonging to us. Once you attach or grasp to them, you can be afflicted and you will become very fragile and vulnerable. It is due to delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto them because you fail to see their impermanence, suffering and anatta or non-self nature. All sense experiences and phenomena, no matter how alluring, are a prelude to suffering because they are of the nature to arise and pass away and cease. So they will separate from you. Without wisdom developed via heedfulness, one will not be able to accept this reality. One must train one's mind to be heedful or even mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, leading to the enlightenment via realization of the Four Noble Truths. 2.2. The Fourth Foundation of Mindfulness, Third Category of Cultivation. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases is related to the 18 sense realms and the 12 links or dependent origination and the fire sermon cultivation. In the fire sermon, the Buddha taught how one can achieve liberation from suffering through detachment from the five senses and mind consciousness. In this discourse, the Buddha described the sense bases and resultant mental consciousness or phenomena as burning with passion, aversion, delusion, and suffering. Seeing such, a noble disciple becomes very disenchanted with dispassion and thus liberated from the sense bases, thereby achieving arahantship. This is described in more details below. Thus have I heard on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Gaya Sisa, accompanied by 1,000 bhikkhus. The Buddha proclaimed, "Bhikkhus, all things are burning. Sabha bhikkhavi adidam, what bhikkhus are all these things burning? The eye, bhikkhus, is burning. Visual forms are burning. Visual forms, sense data received by the minds, by the eyes are burning. Eye or seeing consciousness is burning. Eye contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant or unpleasant, painful or neither pleasant nor unpleasant painful that arises with eye contact, that too is burning. With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust, passion, lobha, with the fire of hate, dosa, and with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, with despair. The ear, bhikkhus, is burning. Sounds are burning. Vibrations and sense data received by the ears are burning."
Okay, Maya, I will take over from here. Because these are all repeated. What you need to understand is this one come about through understanding paticca samuppada. Understand? When you understand the dwelling, how it functions, then at every moment, you will have the wisdom to know that all these are dangerous links if you don't have the Dhamma. That's why they say it is a fire sermon. Everything is burning. Burning with what? Lobha, dosa, and moha, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So when it comes to the senses perception, we start with the sense basis. The eye, you say the eye is burning. If it's the ear, here you say the ear, bhikkhu, is burning. Then the sense data is what? Sense data, vibration, sound, can be music or whatever, pleasant, unpleasant, it is burning. Or vibration that comes in is burning. Whatever that is received by the ear, the sense data are burning. Ear or hearing consciousness, that very moment of consciousness, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. But very fast you input the content, where you stir through your brain, your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. So what happens is, if you don't have the Dhamma, or what they call wisdom, yonisomanasika, to prompt you, then you will be caught. That's why when you have the yonisomanasikara, the fire sermon, trigger off so much enlightenment. So when they hear all this, there is a lot of joy. Well, they can relate. They have mindfulness to see. So when they can see, then they will come to all this understanding. The ear is burning, bhikkhu. Then sense data received by the ear is burning. Then the ear or hearing consciousness, that consciousness itself is burning. Then the contact is burning. Then whatsoever feeling felt, built upon contact, feeling arise. If it become pleasant and unpleasant, or neutral feeling, that arise with ear contact, that too is burning, because it's stir already. Feeling is no more pure feeling. You don't have yonisomanasikara. Then with what is it built? Burning. Burning with the fire of greed, hatred, and delusion. Or loba, dosa, and moha. I said it is burning with birth, aging, and death. With sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, and despair. Then the Buddha repeat the same for all the other senses, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind. So all these are repeated. Then with what are they burning? Again, greed, hatred, and delusion. Then bhikkhu, when a noble disciple who had heard this truth and clearly seeing things as they are, with the direct seeing, he become wary of the eye, wary of the visual form, wary of eye or seeing consciousness. That's why I told you at one time, remember, very nearing enlightenment that time, the fine suffering, every moment of contact is suffering. Every moment of perception is suffering. Every moment of wanting to know or think to move the Sankhara is suffering. And this is what the fire sermon is trying to tell you. When you have mindfulness with that sensitivity, you can feel it. That's why with that, how can you cling? How can you grow? How can you be deceived by all these external sense data that you carry into your perception? That's why wisdom free. Without wisdom, you can't. Then when you are wary of all this, yeah, he becomes wary of all this, the ear, the sound, the hearing consciousness, etc., for all the other organs. He becomes, finally, wary of the mind, wary of the thought and mental form. Then wary of mind or thought consciousness, etc. In this way, he becomes free of passion, means the craving. And he becomes aware of feeling with insight, knowledge, and wisdom, means yonisomanasikara, the wisdom. He knows that no more rebirth, that the holy life is his, that he has done all that should be done. These were the Buddha's word, or Blessed One's word, when he spoke to the bhikkhu thus. And the whole congregation of over 1,000 bhikkhu rejoiced at proof of his word, and attain liberation from the asava through clinging no more, and their hearts were completely free. Means they became arahan. Okay, Manyuan, you can read on. Notes from other commentaries.
Bhikkhus, form is burning, feeling is burning, perception is burning, volitional formations are burning, and consciousness is burning. Seeing thus, the instructor, noble disciple, experiences vary towards form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Through dispassion, and this mind is liberated. The ensuing text reveals that all sabha refers to.
All means sabbe. Sabbe is all.
Sabbe refers to the six internal sense bases, ayatana, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. The six external sense bases, visible forms, sound, smells, taste, touch, and mental objects. Consciousness, vijnana, contingent on these sense bases. By burning, aditta is man, the fire of passion, raga gina, the fire of aversion, dosa gina, the fire of delusion, moha gina, the manifestation of suffering, birth, aging, and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair. As enchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is fully released. With full release, there is the understanding. Fully released, he discerns that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further for this world.
Okay, the chart is a simple representation in chart form, easier for you to understand. Because sometimes people learn with easier and clarity by looking at chart, because they are properly set by set label for you. So here, 18 sense line, the first six, second six, the third six, they are all there. The first six are the internal sense bases within our physical form. The second six is the external sense data that come in. Then the third set is the consciousness, respective sense or consciousness that arise from all these sense bases. Then the sense bases, the six of them, external five with a common mind. So total six. So this mental is common to all. It's a common denominator for all. For seeing consciousness from the eye to arise, you also need mind. For hearing consciousness to arise, you also need mind. For smell, taste, tactile, thought consciousness, all six, the common denominator is mind. That's why you must understand mind. And the mind is mano, mundane mind. Whereas the pure consciousness, that is our nature, the true mind. So that true mind, when it is aware, there is no word, no aggregates of mind. From there is the direct seeing. But when you are not there, you are lost in thought, all these 18 sense right create illusion for you to attach and grasp onto. That's why I ask you all, how do you know the world? Through your senses, isn't it? Without your senses, you cannot know the world. Then how do you interact with the world? Also through your senses, through your mundane mind, through your action, speech, and thought process. So all this, if you really have mindfulness, you observe, you can see how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? That is what self-knowledge is all about, that Krishnamurti tried to get you to understand. Then when you understand that all this has the universal characteristic and they are all dependent originating, that's why they are impermanent, lead to suffering, you grasp and cling and want things your way. And because of that, it is non-self, empty, not what you think. So the Buddha break free based on all this understanding. So Krishnamurti is self-knowledge, then he liberate. He got no teaching. So to understand him is very difficult. Understand? Well, he got no teaching. Well, he himself realized he know what this thing is. Eh? He will not touch. He will know they are not real. They are only images. But he has no teaching to explain to you. So we are lucky because as Buddhists, we have the Buddha Dharma that the Buddha has realized. And he has set it out 2,600 years ago with such clarity and understanding and precision. That's why combining the understanding, you progress. And a lot of cultivators, if they have this true teaching, they will transform. Okay? Yeah. Next part. Manjun, you read the final one.
3.1. Meditation consists of two parts. Meditation consists of two parts. First part is to train the mind to be heedful. Then the second part is to make use of this trained mind in heedfulness to live life and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path with special emphasis on the four foundations of mindfulness. This mind that is trained listens to you. And if you want it to be silent within, it will just be silent within. If you want it to be aware or think, then it will do just that. Even if you want it to be at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind or consciousness, then it will just do that. That is, it listens to you. Heedfulness can only arise when the mind is trained. To be heedful, one must know how to silence one's mind, to connect to one's true mind. The untrained mind is very heedless and it thinks a lot because of ignorance and delusion. Without this heedfulness developed, one is as if dead spiritually, as per Dhammapada verse 21. Since heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful do not die, so please do strive on with heedfulness.
Okay. 33, yeah. Lesson 33, yeah.
33rd Sutra class. 1.1. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead spiritually. One only needs to be heedful, then one is destined for enlightenment. Therefore, one must make strong determination to be heedful. To know who you are and what you are is very important. Is this human being or the five aggregates of form and mind really what you are? How do you know the world? And how do you interact with the world? Is it the senses that enable us to interact with the world via mind or mental consciousness? This is very important understanding. Sakaya ditti, self-delusion, is a very powerful delusion because during every movement of sense door consciousness, like seeing, hearing and thinking, etc., the personality and egoic mind will arise. If there is Sakaya ditti, then one will try to own and possess things. This is how selfishness, which is an evil root, arises. Similarly, because of the ego, one can also become jealous, angry, emotional, and fearful, and there are other two evil, and these are the other two evil roots of hatred and delusion, as they are the roots of all evil. This is the reason why when things do not go your way and when you cannot get what you desire or want, you can become very unhappy and you can also get angry and become emotional too. When confronted with the first noble truth realities, especially health problem or separation problem, the thought will project into the past and the future to condition your fear, worry, anxiety and sadness, unhappiness, etc., leading to one's suffering. See that it is just a thought, not a reality at all. So how come it has such power to torment you and cause you so much suffering? This is wrong view conditioned by your delusion to grasp and cling onto the so-called problem, hence causing your fear, worry and anxiety. etc. Do see its impermanent characteristics and anatta nature, i.e. it is just a thought which comes and goes, and it has no power over you if you are not deluded by it.
Okay, stop here. So the last sentence is very important. It is just a thought which comes and goes. And thought is just a thought and it has no power over you. But who gives it such power that it can make you so miserable? If you think the wrong thought, thought is being given power. So who give? The deluded human being. Understand not? Who doesn't understand the Dhamma. So I use this to help a lot of people who suffer from depression, sadness. Because when I told them, it is only a thought. And this is so powerful, you know. All those who become depressed, it happened due to what? The thinking, isn't it? You arise the mundane thinking through the thought. And thought, basically, you know, is just an image. It is content on itself. How can this fellow make you miserable? This fellow is not a weapon, no. Cannot kill you, harm you, or torment you. It's just a thought, no. And who created this thought? Your own deluded mundane mind, understand? And you get so miserable over it, so angry, so frustrated, so full of fear, worry, anxiety. Ask yourself, is this stupidity? It's just a thought, understand? Wake up. Thought is like money, understand? Technology, neither good or evil. It depends on the user, understand? If the user deludedly arises a wrong thought, then thought has power over you and make you miserable. You understand? That's why Noble Eightfold Path is what? Right view leading to right thought. If you don't apply Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, then you are doomed. That's why living beings suffer, understand? Because when you arise a wrong thought, suffering arises. This one, go here. So understand this. If you apply Noble Eightfold Path, then right view leading to right thought, you are safe. Otherwise, wrong thought or wrong view will lead to suffering. Then you are doomed. Then you have a lot of problems. Understand? So do see all this clearly. Thought and money is the same. It's neither evil or good. It depends on the user. If the user of thought is deluded, that's why I ask you, it's only a thought. Who created that wrong thought that make you miserable, suffer, until you go into depression with suicidal thought? It's the deluded living being, through ignorance. And this is really stupid. But to me, after I realized this, I say, any normal human being who understands this will never go this way, understand? But do you know how many people go and see psychiatric? The doctor or not, become cuckoo and land themselves with depressive thought and enter depression or not. You mean they are stupid? No, they don't know this teaching, understand? And they don't know it's only a thought that trigger off all this. So when I say this to one very close friend of my wife, the colleague, the teacher, the husband, very successful, you know, MD of a main board listed company, you know, suddenly heart attack at the age of 60-something, early 60. Then her life, like, devastated. Went into depression almost 2 years. Then I told my wife, wait for her to have the condition. When he is ready to come out, then invite her for lunch. She only have lunch and dinner with me, and we talk only for 2-3 months. And he wake up. Finally, I told him, it's only a thought. Then he looked at it. Ayo. Yeah, lah, it's only a thought. Lah. How come he has power over me? Then after that, he said he wants to learn the Dhamma. Then he Mandarin educated. Mandarin educated. So I said, you go to Ziji lah. Eh, no. Fo Kwan San. Because she got friend there, go Fo Kwan San. He said, go Fo Kwan San. He learned a lot. Song Jing, attend Fo Se Ban, attend their whatever year end ceremony, all those things, help out there, all this. Then after that, he realized, after going to Fo Kwan and doing all this, he actually didn't learn much, all the chanting, everything, because cannot understand. He said, through talking to me, he understand and his life problem solved. He got other problems also, but all resolved. And now she told me, last night depressed until cannot sleep. Insomnia problem. Go to doctor, psychiatrist, take medicine, everything. Then, initially work for a while, can sleep for a while. After that, cannot. Now, after understanding, don't need medicine, don't need to see psychiatrist, sleep very well. Every night, sleep very well. Now, he said, stock market collapse also doesn't affect her anymore. Sleep very well. That's why understanding, break free. He said, she told me that only I realized. He said, brother, your this word hit me very hard. It's just a thought. Then I also told her, your life, you choose how you want to live. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. If you choose to be deluded and think this thought, like Bayan Kathy said, if you think this thought, you end up what? Miserable. Yeah? Without this thought, you are happy. Yeah? But the problem is, initially she cannot understand. My husband passed away, he asked me not to think. She told me, at home, he saw the photo, he saw the thing that they buy, the memory of their good life when they travel together. Everything remind her until she cannot stay in the house. She got to go overseas to stay with the daughter for a few months. That is the extent of suffering. But that time, no Dhamma, cannot come out. But after coming out for 2 months or 3 months talking to me, we just talk, no, never attend my class until later. And she came out of here. He said, this one hit her very hard. And she came out. Then the other one about relationship problem, he recalled what I say, your life, choose to understand life and live life. Then after that, he said, all these are wrong thoughts about how their relationship should be and all those things. All the misunderstanding, she can just drop it off. Pop. Then he said, instead of staying at home, every time see them and all the wrong thought, through all the wrong thinking, make her so miserable. She come out, look for us. Look for her genuine friend and go and have fun now. And she realized that was life. Then she understood the Dhamma through listening only. Understand? Of course, haven't realized the cessation, but enough to solve her problem. Understand? No awareness nature yet, but enough to solve her problem. She is a very intelligent lady, a teacher, not much education, didn't go university, just a primary school teacher. And yet, she is very smart. You know why? She can do investment better than the fund manager, I tell you. She's damn good. But she got passion. She read the newspaper, Mandarin. And she know the inside out of the listed company. That's why I respect her. I say, you're very good when it comes to investment. Because for her, you talk about investment, she become alive. And she liked me because he realized the stock I buy, same as the stock the husband buy, and same as the stock she understand. That's why finally she trusts me and she become very successful in investment. So all this come about is because of past affinity. Then after that, he become close to me. Then I say, it's a blessing in disguise. If your husband don't pass away, you have a good life, do you think you will come and see me? Understand? She won't come and see me, understand? But because of what happened, like Shen Hua said, whatever happened, look like it's not a good beginning, 不好的起头. But if you apply Noble Eightfold Path, then it become a blessing in disguise, and it will turn out to be beautiful. That's why do not perceive any situation with negativity, understand? Accept them, then reflect on them, contemplate, understand, then come up with a clarity and understanding to resolve everything amicably, then the answer will come. So in life, do not worry about how your life is. Don't blame your karma. Don't blame other people. Don't blame whatever. Because the reality is, condition like that, things will like that. You have to move. But you must meet the right person who can give you the right advice to come out. Understand? So these are the important sharing. That's why I want to add it in. Huh? Remember, it's only a thought. Huh? Next time, whoever make you miserable, check yourself. Like the what Kalama Sutta. It's only a thought. If it harms you, don't do. Don't follow. If it harms others, also don't follow. So all this, you can apply the teaching. Okay, I think time already. 11 o'clock passed already. Okay, meditation, 1 hour. Yeah, I will set the alarm. Then we come back, only we continue.